everybody. It's Thursday, March 17th, and you are listening to Against the Current, brought to you by CITR 101.9 FM's News Collective. We aim to bring you an alternative and undercover current affairs coverage from Vancouver and Lower Mainland every Thursday at 3 p.m. We're based on UBC's Vancouver campus on the ancestral, traditional, and unceded territories of the Hunkaminam-speaking Musqueam people. Doctor, can you help me? 'Cause I don't feel right. Better make it fast before I change my mind. Doctor, can you help me? 'Cause I don't feel right. Better make it fast before I change my mind. Since it's March and graduation is coming up for many people at UBC and other schools, we sat down with Hima this week, who provided us with some insights into everything related to job search, networking, and LinkedIn, etc. Though a little bit of warning beforehand, we had a little bit of technical issues with the Wi-Fi this week, so we do apologize for any weird audio cuts and delays in today's show. But here's the interview. So, hi everyone, I am Trish.
I'm Manipak.
And we have Hima with us here today, and Hima is the founder of UBC SEE podcast and wants to make job search information more accessible to students. So Hima, why don't you start by telling a little bit about yourself, your year, your major, and your work experiences?
Yeah, sure. I'd love to. So, hey, Trish and Manivak, thank you for having me on the show today. So my name is Hima. I'm in my final year at UBC Sauder studying business and computer science. So it's my fourth year, graduating end of this year. So not sure what that's going to entail, but definitely mixed feelings getting closer to that. But yeah, about the podcast, started the podcast about 5 months ago. And a big inspiration behind that was that in the time that I spent recruiting for internships, I'd always have a lot of conversations with like friends and other like fellow students at Sauder who'd go through the same process. And a lot of times we'd come across information that we were exposed to just because we were there, or in other words, like right place, right time. And I felt like in this entire recruiting space, there's a lot of information and resources out there about what you should be doing as a student, or what recruiters are looking for in a student, or what companies are looking for. But I felt like student perspective would be nice, just because it's something I thought it would be refreshing. And for that reason, I've always liked listening to podcasts. So I thought, you know, if no one's going to invite me on their podcast, I'll just have my own. So that's how I ended up here today.
Yeah, for sure. That's awesome. I remember being in my second year applying to 80 plus jobs and not hearing back from anybody. But yeah, jumping on to our first question. So I read a report recently which said that Canada has a labor shortage and some companies are basically struggling to fill in these vacant positions. And yet you hear people who are applying to so many jobs and they're not hearing back. So what do you think is sort of happening there? And what should the job seekers of today have in mind when they're applying to jobs?
Yeah, great question. And before, I guess I'll preface whatever I say by just throwing out a word of caution that I'm in no way like a labor policy expert, like an economics expert. But I think just from what I understand, I'm assuming that if people aren't getting accepted into the positions they're applying to, there's either a mismatch in terms of skill or just the job market is different. And what I mean by the second part is that I'm sure recruiting for internships and for students specifically looks very differently to what it does in the general like full-time job search market, right? Because you have people who are recruiting just when they get out of university. So the position that the three of us are here in right now, we're graduating soon, we're looking for jobs. So that part of the industry looks different versus people who are in their like early to mid-career or later stages of their career looking to switch. So I think it could also be a case of a lot of companies looking for senior, like people with a lot of experience, right? Maybe they're looking for people with like 5 years of experience to join their company. But obviously, if that's a role, even though one of the three of us might find it super interesting, but clearly not qualified enough, I guess, to apply. So that could be one reason. And I think that's probably what's happening a lot these days as well, because a lot of companies are trying to grow, a lot of startups that have come into the space, and they obviously need people who can hit the ground running right away. But I'll obviously talk more about students because that's the space I'm most familiar with. I think even with students, the situation isn't too different. A lot of students apply to so many internships, and it's very hard to find one. And despite feeling that there's so many opportunities out there. And I think obviously there's a piece of it, which is an interesting stat that I think a lot of us would be like kind of, I guess, would be disappointed listening to, is that a recruiter will probably spend 6 seconds looking at your resume, right? And now compare that to the amount of time you actually spend making your resume or your cover letter. There's no possible way you could ever think of a perfect resume that can make an impression in 6 seconds. So I think just because of the sheer number of applications that are coming in, recruiters are, they're just screening through them, right? They're spending 6 seconds glancing through, find something interesting, cool, that goes on the pile on the right. If not, it goes on the pile on the left. So I think it's which is why it's very important to have your own voice in this space and know people in the industry who can help you take that first step into the entire recruiting space or into interviewing with a company. But I think, with the student space generally, it's just there's a lot of applicants and limited positions because internships are obviously a very, very tiny portion of a company. So I feel like I digress there. But yeah, I think the job market for students looks different. There's obviously the number of postings that are up versus the number of students that are in Canada. I think that would be an interesting stat to look into, which is why not everyone gets the level of attention to detail that they want on their applications.
Yeah, so this is a nice segue into my next question. I am an art student majoring in IR, and I don't want to go into the traditional grad school route that many IR grads end up pursuing. So what advice would you give to people not wanting to pursue a career directly related to their field of study?
Yeah, no, that's a really good question. And I think, I don't know, maybe it's just the sign of the times, but even within my own like friend network, I've seen a lot of students wanting to do that. I think earlier and the years before, people used to think a lot more that if I'm studying something, so international relations or marketing or whatever that is, I should be working in that field. But I think today, just because we're exposed to so many new opportunities and we've, I think, started to recognize how transferable the skills are from one job to another, and which is why a lot of people are wanting to try different things. And I think that's a great sign, right? I don't think your education is not meant to be a limiting factor for you to get employed. I think if anything, it should just augment your profile that you have. And I think, and before I answer this question, I obviously come in with a point of privilege because I'm in business school and the opportunities are generally, the pool is just greater. I think that's one of the hard facts. But it's important. So I had someone on the podcast a while ago and he said something really interesting. He said that if you're trying to break into a new field, try to think about what your resume should look like 6 months from now when you actually start applying to those positions, right? So you want to make a list of like, hey, for someone to go in from international relations, let's say you're super interested in like communication briefs or writing marketing briefs for some company, right? So what skills do you need on your resume that will help you stand out and be a competitive candidate to others? And then you spend the next 6 months actually actively taking up those experiences, either by taking courses online or by getting involved in projects, so forth, so on, whatever helps you get there. Now, there's a second piece to it, which is how do you know what that would look like, right? How do you know you should be working towards? And I think the piece to that is using a platform such as LinkedIn, which is traditionally just most people outside of business school, at least just look at it. Oh, it's just like where people go to post about like their successes or when they're just literally just looking for a job. And I think it's still pretty important because that's one of the only social media platforms where you can see the professional or the career side of someone's journey. And I think that's where you could really leverage LinkedIn to find people who were in a similar position as you or are in a similar position as you or just doing something that you really want to. And you use LinkedIn to find them and have conversations and just talk to them and be like, hey, I really like what you did. It's super inspiring. I want to be able to do that someday. What can I learn today? What should I be doing today? And they'd be happy to share that with you. And then now you have a list and you know where you should be working to and you have a timeline. And then at the end of the 6 months, hopefully you'll be more ready right now to be able to apply for those positions. And I think that's one of the simpler yet long-term yet super effective ways of achieving that. Most people that you see who've made those switches didn't do it overnight, had their own fair share of experiences that they did just to be able to make it till there. So I think, besides just wanting to change your resume and augment it to what it should be, I think definitely using LinkedIn as a way of finding those people to have those conversations, because chances are, if you want to do it, you're not the only person who wanted to do it. There's probably people in the past who've wanted to do it and done it successfully and done it over and over again. And you really want to be talking to those people because they'd know your journey best. Yeah, I hope that answers your question.
For sure it does. Yeah, I agree with you there, because I also think that there is no particular skill per se that business school has taught me. I think it's just been the vibe in business schools where you're pushed to like network and like coffee chats. Mm-hmm. I think that sort of has really helped in going back, like starting on early. But I know you mentioned a lot about skills and learning those skills. So what do you think, like people coming from non-traditional backgrounds, what sort of sources of learning they should be focusing on? Because in business school, you're still given like basics of, let's say, Tableau and those sort of things. So how should basically enhancing their skill set look like for if it's not part of your formal education?
Yeah, great question. And I'll break that down into like two key skills or two key like categories. I think there is hard skills, which all of us define it as basically things that you could have some level of expertise in, right? So the Tableaus or your Excel, or it could be something else, maybe you're really good at PowerPoint, something like that. So those are your hard skills. And that's kind of like the qualifying factor applying for jobs, because I think from what I've noticed from my experience is that Excel, for example, is something most people just expect you to know and be familiar with, because no matter what role you go into, chances are you'll be dabbling with spreadsheets, right? And if you're comfortable with Excel, you'll just make your overall comfort level with that job and your onboarding process that much easier. So I think in terms of hard skills, knowing things like Excel, PowerPoint, the Microsoft Office suite, just because it's like it's prevalent everywhere, right? Every company is using Word or PowerPoint, something like that. So knowing the Microsoft Office suite, that includes Excel. And then at the same time, there might be some specific tools that the industry you're interested in uses. And knowing those, again, give you like a competitive edge when you're applying for jobs, right? So that looks different. That is different for different fields. So someone who's trying to break into like design, for example, or user interface design, Figma is super popular and something that a lot of employees look for, right? So if I wanted to apply for a UI design role today, I wouldn't even meet the minimum criteria because I don't have an expertise with Figma, even like 10%. So if you're interested, you want to go ahead and like practice with Figma, do your decks or take like watch YouTube videos or take online courses and develop those specific ones. But I think that is still something that you can do over time, right? That can happen concurrently. When you're applying for a job, you don't have to have completed that course 100%. I think you could just start it and then put it on your resume and say, I'm learning it right now. And I'm hoping that by the time I get to this job, I'm done with that. So that when I'm at the company day one, day two, I'm already familiar and I'm just learning the ways the company works. And the second piece of that is soft skills. And really, I think this is where you kind of drive your point home, because hard skills, again, it's an open source. Anybody can build those skills. So your soft skills really are what help you differentiate. And what your soft, I guess, examples of soft skills could be like communication skills, right? Like interpersonal skills, public speaking, whatever that may be. What you want to do is showcase that or find ways to showcase, because ultimately, I think another thing that I've realized, and maybe you guys would relate it to, is that what a recruiter or company is looking for is not the best candidate in terms of like the checkboxing all the skills, but someone they actually want to work with. And how you can communicate that you'd be someone they'd be interested to work with is with those soft skills. So again, this is where you really want to leverage LinkedIn again. I swear I don't work for LinkedIn. They don't pay me to say this. I just think it's super effective. You could use LinkedIn, find the people that, again. So you see someone working in as an analyst at a big bank and you want to be in that position. So you message them and say that, hey, I'm super interested in working for you, the team that you're working in. I think the work is super interesting. I'd love to chat, see where I can contribute or what I should have as a skill set by the time I'm applying. And when you do those things, one, you actually end up getting the content that you need, which is what should my application look like, which all of us die to know at some point in the recruitment process, right? But like, just tell me what you need. I'll give it, like, I'll put it on my application. And the second piece is now you've shown your communication skills to someone who's actually working on that team. And what happens is that now they know that, hey, this person can get the job done. At the same time, they're proactive, they take initiative. And two, I had a fun conversation with them. So it wouldn't actually be, it would probably be a good thing if I saw them every day, worked with them. Like, I can see that happening. And that really helps you get your foot in the door. And that is essentially the differentiating factor between a recruiter screening your resume for 6 seconds versus you actually getting an interview at some company. And when you continuously do this, it's not that every person you talk to will be an amazing conversation or something like that, but it really helps you build connections in the industry or build a network, quote unquote. And eventually, when you're interested in applying for a position, you can be like, hey, by the way, I know we talked about this. You gave me some really good feedback. I love talking to you. I would really appreciate if you could give me a referral for this position. And what they do is they just go tell the recruiter, hey, I spoke to Trish, for example. She seems like a great fit for this team. She also has the necessary skills, and I think she'll be a great addition. And now that recruiter, when even though she might still, or they might still spend 6 seconds looking at your resume, they'll just put your application on the right side of the pile, right? And they'll want to hear from you. They'll want to interview you. So I guess to summarize what I said, your hard skills are something you should be doing continuously, like keeping up with what the industry wants, keeping up with what generally you should have. And I think having the Microsoft Office suite and especially Excel and PowerPoint can never let you down. But in terms of soft skills, it's more practice. And again, super long-term. What you want to do is continue to find people who have similar experiences as you or in positions that you want to be in and modernizations with that. And find them. The last thing I'd, sorry, I know I've been talking for too long, but the last thing I'd add is that you can actually, LinkedIn has some pretty cool filters you could use to find people. So you can filter by their company, you could filter by their title, you could filter by where they studied. And oftentimes what works a lot is finding people who've gone to the same university as you or studied in the same program as you, because they know what it's like to be in your position. They've been there, they've done that. So you want to message and be like, hey, I know you did this at UBC, super cool. I love the journey you've had so far. I want to do what you're doing. Can we have a chat? And they're like, sure, let's do it. So LinkedIn is just to help find the right people, and the onus is on you to message them, connect with them, and have those conversations. And given today's day of like remote work and doing things online, it's completely normal for you to have a conversation with someone who's in the States or who's probably somewhere in the Maldives, right? It's completely normal. So you can essentially message anybody that you're interested in and have those conversations and ask all the questions you want. And I think if you have a comprehensive approach such as that one, I think nothing can ultimately guarantee your job, but it can really guarantee that you're in the right place at the right time. And from there on, your chances of actually landing that position is significantly higher than it would be if you just like sprayed and prayed your resume and your cover letter to every single posting that went up.
The haunting debut album Black Moon by Civic TV provides a cinematic backdrop, a modern-day symphony of the dark and light that is our collective reality. Take a listen to Black Moon, now available via Flemish Eye Records and on all streaming platforms.
Slice of Life Art and Gift Shop is Vancouver's choicest destination for one-of-a-kind artist-made prints, posters, screen prints, riso prints, paintings, acrylic paintings, watercolor paintings, ceramic mugs, ceramic plates, ceramic bowls, ceramic pots, lapel pins, hats, toques, crochet bathing suits, jewelry, trinkets, knickknacks, hand-painted signs, curated thrift, and a bunch more stuff that won't fit in this designated block of airtime. Slice of Life Art and Gift Shop, located at 1636 Venables, just off Commercial. Open 11 to 6, 6 days a week.
There is a drinking water settlement for First Nations, and the claims process is now open. The settlement includes $1.8 billion in compensation to some individuals and First Nations subject to long-term drinking water advisories from November 1995 to June 2021, and $50 million for eligible individuals who suffered specific injuries due to these advisories. If you are a First Nations member impacted by a long-term drinking water advisory, you may be eligible for compensation. You will also have free access to legal advice and support while filling out your claim. This is the first drop in recognizing the communities impacted. For more information or to submit your claim, visit firstnationsdrinkingwater.ca.
And I love that you mentioned that all the stuff about LinkedIn, because I personally really hate networking events. I think they're super cool. Yeah, LinkedIn has definitely worked better for me. I don't know if you already, I mean, you already kind of touched on this, but do you have any other specific LinkedIn-related networking skills that you would like to share, maybe?
Oh, no, for sure. Maybe I can just like do a quick run through what you should be doing on LinkedIn when you want to find someone and have conversations with them. So obviously a lot of the postings that we find on job portals are also posted on LinkedIn. Mm-hmm. So you could find that job posting. And then when you do, you would be able to see what company, the company that posted it, obviously. And then when you click on that company's profile, you'll actually see a list of people you have mutual connections with. And if you want to dig deeper, again, going back to the piece of finding people who did, who are in the same program as you, maybe in the same city as you, in the same, in a role that you want to be in, or maybe you found an intern today who's interning in that position and 4 months from now, you want to be replacing them. That's, you can find all of that just in that people section of a company's profile on LinkedIn. And from there on, an important piece is to personalize your message when you're reaching out to them, right? If you just send a connection request, you're just one more person on the platform who's looking to connect. They don't really know what you want from them, and you won't get a chance to say that until they actually look at it and press accept. So what you want to do, LinkedIn does this really cool thing of helping you personalize what you write. So you could personalize your invite and just quickly introduce yourself and be like, hey, my name is Hima, or I'm Hima, I'm in my final year at UBC. I think what you're doing is great, XYZ. I noticed that we're from the same school. I'd love to chat about your journey so far, something like that, right? Over a virtual coffee chat or something. And I think that's really all that's required from your side. And then when you hear back, which I hope you do, you can then go ahead and set up a chat and have a conversation with them. And as for networking events, I think it really depends on what your like style is. I know that some people like networking just isn't really their thing. And I think there's nothing wrong in that. It's important, but I think there's also no cookie cutter way of wanting to do it. I think one reason why I wanted to do the podcast was to make this information more open source so that you don't have to go ahead and force yourself to talk to someone when you really don't want to be in that conversation. So I think as long as you're finding the information you're looking for and finding a way to talk to the person you're looking to talk to ask your questions, I think you're doing fine and you don't really have to stick to the traditional definition of like networking or coffee chats. But yeah, I hope that answers your question.
Yeah, that definitely does. And while we're on the topic of LinkedIn, I would also like to ask that, you know, you see so many LinkedIn posts of people posting their fancy jobs that they got. And yeah, and when you see them as a person who does not have a fancy job, and I don't know if I will ever have a fancy job, but while seeing that, I often get discouraged and I often start judging myself and being hard on myself that I'm not doing, pushing myself hard enough or working not hard enough as other people. So do you have any advice on how to deal with that kind of issue? Like how to tackle imposter syndrome and viewing LinkedIn as not a scary place as sometimes it can seem like it is, if that makes sense?
No, it makes sense. And I'm going to unpack that question a little bit and tackle like different pieces of it. I think for the first piece of like people just like posting about, hey, I landed this job or this internship or I want a case comp, I'm 100% guilty of that. I'm guilty of feeling that way and I'm guilty of doing that as well. I've been like cooked enough times by my friends for making those posts. And honestly, I think the point of that post is just to communicate that, hey, I just want to let everyone know that I got to this thing that I really wanted to get to. And there's nothing wrong in saying that. But I was actually, I had someone on the podcast who I was talking to, way younger than me. So it was super cool to hear this from him. He said, you know, when you're posting about one of your successes, why don't you next time just also add the three things that helped you get there? And I think that's something that's changing a lot with the platform. So if you go to the platform, like if you go to LinkedIn now, you see fewer of the, I'm excited that I'm here posts. And what you're seeing is, I'm excited that I'm here. Plus, here's the people who helped me get there and here's how. And I think that's really the key piece you want to be focusing on as when you're looking at those posts. So I don't have a full-time job offer like lined up for me yet, right? So, but people around me or people on the platform are have secured opportunities. And I think if I was in my first year or my second year, I would be looking at that post and say, oh, they landed a job. That's amazing. I don't know if I'll be ever able to do that because it's hard to visualize yourself there when you really haven't like started doing anything or you don't feel like you're ready yet. But I think what being on LinkedIn for so long has taught me is that the piece that you want to focus on is that second piece, which is what helped them get there, right? What resources did they use that actually helped them talk to the right people, have the right skills, have the right profile, whatever you call it. And I think that's one good way to use all of these in your way as a learning community, as a way to figure out you need opposed to feeling, I guess, feeling left out, if that's the right word to use. I think it's completely natural to feel that way. But ultimately, I've also learned that the whole aspect of job hunting, whether it's a full-time or for internships, it's not a zero-sum game as much as we're like, we believe that. And I'll clarify that a bit. So it's not that if I get something, you won't get that opportunity, right? I think I've been in positions where I've like, oh, like I've seen people get like internships at Deloitte and I'm like, oh man, that's crazy. Like, I don't think I'd be able ever to do that. But having been in that position myself, I feel like I don't really think I've done anything revolutionary to be here. I think it's just finding being in the right place at the right time. And that was because I was just seeking the right resources. So again, I would say that when you're on the platform, again, look for the pieces where you can actually learn on what you should be doing. And I think the second piece is that it's okay to feel like you haven't done as much as you should be, or you're not having those fancy positions that you really want. But I think eventually it works out if you really want it. And again, as long as you're seeking the right resources and the right guidance, I think you're well on your way. And does that answer your question?
Yeah. So that was my last question. So thank you for joining us today. I really loved hearing about all of this from you, and honestly gave me a lot of ideas myself and a lot of things to think about, which I really appreciate. And that is our show today, folks. Thank you so much for tuning in. This has been Against the Current by CITR News. We are here every Thursday at 3 p.m. bringing you local news. And stay tuned for more amazing programming.